self-controlled and self-realized, and I engaged constantly in devotional service, hearing, thinking, chanting, worshipping, and remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. I was successful in my attempt, so much so that my mind was always absorbed in devotional service. However, due to my personal foolishness, my mind again became attached, this time to a deer. Now I have obtained the body of a deer and have fallen far from my devotional practices. Purport. Due to his stringent execution of devotional service, Maharaj Bharat could remember the activities of his past life and how he was raised to the spiritual platform. Due to his foolishness, he became attached to an insignificant deer and thus fell down and had to accept the body of a deer. This is significant for every devotee. If we misuse our position and think that we're fully engaged in devotional service and can do whatever we like, we have to suffer like Bharata Maharaj and become and be condemned to accept the type of body that impairs our devotional service. Only the human form is able to execute devotional service, but if you voluntarily give this up for sense gratification, we certainly have to be punished. The punishment is not exactly like that endured by an ordinary materialistic person. By the grace of the Supreme Lord, a devotee is punished in such a way that his eagerness to attain the lotus feet of Lord Vasudeva is increased. By his intense desire, he returns home in the next lifetime. Devotional service is very completely described here. Tad anushravana manana sankirtana radana nusmarana biyogena. That very long word. The constant hearing and chanting of the glories of the Lord is recommended in the Bhagavad Gita. Satatam kirtayanto mam yatantascha drida vrataha. Those who have taken to Krishna consciousness should be very careful that not a single moment is wasted, and that not a single moment is spent without chanting and remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his activities. By his own actions and by the actions of his devotees, Krishna teaches us how to become cautious in devotional service. Through the medium of Bharata Maharaj, Krishna teaches us that we must be careful in the discharge of devotional service. If we want to keep our minds completely fixed without deviation, we must engage them in devotional service full time. As far as the members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness are concerned, they have sacrificed everything to push on this Krishna consciousness movement. Yet they must take a lesson from the life of Bharata Maharaj to be very cautious and to see that not a single moment is wasted in frivolous talk, sleep, or voracious eating. Eating is not prohibited, but if we eat voraciously, we shall certainly sleep more than required. Sense gratification ensues, and we may be degraded to lower life form. In that way, our spiritual progress may be checked, at least for the time being. The best course is to take the advice of Srila Rupa Goswami, Avyarta Kala Tvam. We should see that every moment of our lives is utilized for the rendering of devotional service and nothing else. This is the secure position for one wanting to return home back to Godhead. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Kinanjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasma Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karati Vachalam Pangum Langati Kirim Yat Kripatamaham Bande Shri Gurum Dinataranam Panchakalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Okay, first I apologize for missing Prabhupada's Guru Puja. I had some other duties to attend to. Otherwise, it wouldn't have happened. So, sometimes, as devotees, we may hear from other devotees. We definitely can hear this from those who are not devotees, but what's surprising, sometimes we hear this, well, it's not that surprising. We hear this also from devotees who tell us not to be fanatics. And that's definitely good instruction, don't get me wrong. That's a very good instruction. Because if you look up the dictionary meaning of the word fanatic, it definitely, we get a picture of an unbalanced person. Person who's not balancing all the elements appropriately. So that's a good instruction. But very often when the word fanatic is used, it tends to lean more on a liberal side of the meaning of the word. In other words, that one should not be too intense about one's own spiritual life. However, it is very interesting here. The first thing Prabhupada writes in the purport here is that, well, Prabhupada said several things in the purport. One, he says that Bharata did not fall down because of his intense execution of devotional service. He fell down because of the lack of it. I personally have heard this. Oh, he was so strict and now he fell down. People fall down not because they're strict, but because they have ceased to be strict about the execution of their of the spiritual lives or their Krishna consciousness. So in the first sentence of the purport, Srila Prabhupada says that due to his stringent execution of devotional service, in other words, because King Bharat was so strict, so rigid about holding on to the principles of devotional service and devotional life, did he get special or preferential treatment by Krishna? Not because he was a slacker, but because he was not a slacker. Had he fell down from the position of a slacker, maybe he would not have gotten this kind of preferential treatment from Krishna. But here, Srila Prabhupada chose to emphasize this. As a matter of fact, you might have noticed that Srila Prabhupada said this a bunch of times through the last several days' worth of Bhagavatam discussion. That he got special mercy from Krishna because he was strict about his devotional practices. Not because he was trying to be, in the name of being balanced, that he was being a slacker. Of course, one should be a balanced person, no doubt. But that has nothing to do with taking seriously to the practice of Krishna consciousness. You know, it's very dangerous to chant 16 rounds all in one shot. You may fall down. You know, it's very dangerous to attentively chant Hare Krishna. You may become a fanatic. I'm saying this because I have personally heard stuff of that nature. So yeah, sure, one should not be a fanatic. But being a fanatic has nothing to do with being being a decent, good practitioner of Krishna consciousness. And so those who find themselves in the position of Bharata, that they're, let's say, will fall down from their practices, and we all, it happens to, as one devotee said, every time I pass by the kitchen, when I smell it, I fall down on the sensual platform. So we have these micro fall downs all the time, but hopefully no major fall downs take place. But if they do take place, those who have wholeheartedly given themselves to Krishna consciousness, they are the ones who are going to have preferential treatment by Krishna. That is the point here. Now the other thing is, Srila Prabhupada here says, as he goes through his commenting on this verse, he says that that this is significant for every devotee. What is significant for every devotee? The situation of King Bharata. In other words, this is something we should meditate on in order to get in a better position ourselves. So this is significant for every devotee. If we misuse our position and think that we're fully engaged in devotional service and can do whatever we like, we have to suffer like Bharata Maharaj and be condemned to accept the type of body that impairs our devotional service, etc., etc. There is another place in this very same book. Where this is discussed. So, what's text for? So these are prayers offered by the residents of Jambudvipa. It's in the book if you have, it's 5.18.4. Do you have 18 chapter in that book? You don't. Okay, so I will then try not to read too fast. Text itself speaks about succumbing to illusory energy. But what's interesting, it doesn't say... it specifically says who succumbs to the material energy. And it speaks about devotees. And not just any devotees, but completely self-realized devotees. So the verse says, O unborn one, learned Vedic scholars who are advanced in spiritual knowledge certainly know that this material world is perishable. So do other logicians and philosophers. In trance, they realize the factual position of this world, and they preach the truth as well. So not only that they realize, but they're so realized, they're convincing others about it. Yet even they are sometimes bewildered by your illusory energy. This is your own wonderful pastime. Therefore, I can understand that your illusory energy is very wonderful, and I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. In other words, they're offering obeisances to Krishna because one aspect of him is so amazing. And what is that amazing aspect of him? Krishna's illusory energy. And now please listen carefully to section of this purport that Srila Prabhupada wrote, commentary to this verse. As he speaks about the same thing. He says, not only does the illusory energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead act on the conditioned soul within the material world, but sometimes it also acts on the most advanced learned scholars who factually know the constitutional position of this world through realization. As soon as someone thinks, I'm this material body, and everything in relationship with this material body is mine, he's in illusion. This illusion caused by the material energy acts especially on the conditioned souls, but it sometimes also acts on liberated souls as well. A liberated soul is a person who has sufficient knowledge of this material world and is therefore unattached to the bodily conception of life. But because of association, the punchline, if you have slept through everything, here's a punchline, you can wake up. But because of association with the modes of material nature for a very long time, even liberated souls sometimes become captivated by the illusory energy due to inattentiveness in the transcendental position. So how do the even liberated people become captivated by illusory energy? Okay. And because they become inattentive, what happens? Yes, yes. That's very true. There's one little detail there. Very good. Very good. So we got it both. So by inattentiveness in this world, by inattentiveness, even a liberated person, by associating prolongly, I just made a word up, associating with the modes of material nature, they become influenced by them. So we all have experience of this, that as we stay with the practice of Krishna consciousness, we rise above the influence of the three modes of material nature. We become steady. We become happy. We become even uninterested in the mundane stuff. Like no attraction. Maybe here and there a little something. And then we relax. We're like, oh, well, this is so cool, man. I'm enjoying it. And so as one lets his guards down, one may begin to associate with the modes of material nature. And by associating with the modes of material nature, one does not fall down, interestingly enough. So one thinks, oh man, this is, you know, I can even watch movies and not fall down. But more one does that, more the illusory energy builds the web around the movie viewer, watcher. And then before he knows it, he's become conditioned. To the point that he can't extricate himself from the clutches of the illusory energy. Kind of a common thing. I have nothing against movies as a media, but I'm yet to hear of a movie that's not stupid and that's not promoting ignorance. And very often, because these movies are almost exclusively always made by people who are thoroughly in Maya, they may have some elements of transcendence and truth, but a whole lot of elements in content which is illusory and attractive. So inattentiveness in the transcendental position. So very interesting concept, right? Like you have reached the transcendental position. And then, because of inattentiveness, while in this world, the material world, you go down. So, what to speak of those who have not reached the transcendental platform? Kapila Dev says that one who has lost ability to concentrate, he's lost and no one can help him. And the practice of Krishna consciousness is largely about paying attention. We get up and we pay attention to the deities. We sing to the deities and we pay attention to what we're singing. Then we chant japa and we pay attention to it. Then with attention we offer puja, respect to the guru. Then with attention we come and hear Bhagavatam class. As a matter of fact, inattentiveness in any of these aspects is a syndrome of Maya. And you can see, you can gauge the health, spiritual health of different communities when you go and see how attentive the community is during these different aspects of the practice of Krishna consciousness. And to, in any point, to lose this attentiveness is to start to go down. After all, we are practicing yoga. Bhakti yoga, but nevertheless a yoga. We're learning to pay attention to right things. Paying attention to wrong things is the influence by the mode of passion. And not paying attention is the influence of mode of ignorance. That's complete destruction of the soul. So, Srila Prabhupada continues this commentary. Therefore, Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Mam eva ye prapadyante mayam etam tarantite. Only those who surrender unto me can overcome the influence of the material energy. End quote. Therefore, no one should think of himself as liberated person immune to the influence of Maya. Everyone should very cautiously execute devotional service by rigidly following regulative principles. Thus he will remain fixed at the lotus feet of the Lord. Otherwise a little inattention will create havoc. We have already seen an example of this in the case of Maharaj Bharata. Maharaj Bharata was undoubtedly a great devotee, but because he turned his attention slightly toward a small deer, he had to suffer two more births, one as a deer and the other as a Brahmana Jata Bharata. Afterward, he was liberated and went back home, back to Godhead. I guess I'll read the last sentence too. Sorry, I wasn't planning to. The Lord's always prepared to excuse his devotee, but if a devotee takes advantage of the Lord's leniency and purposefully commits mistakes again and again, the Lord would certainly punish him by letting him fall down into the clutches of delusory energy. In other words, theoretical knowledge acquired by studying the Veda is insufficient to protect one from the clutches of Maya. One must strongly adhere to the lotus feet of the Lord in devotional service, then one's position is secure. I guess I'll make a jump to something that Prabhupada said towards the end of the purport. So inattentiveness and a waste of time go hand in hand. Inattentiveness and a waste of time, they go along, or they come along as a couple, a yuga. Yuga means couple, like bhata yuga means two bhatas. So we're advised here to pay attention and to not waste our time. Srila Prabhupada says that we should follow the, take the advice of Srila Rupa Goswami, Avyarta Kala Tvam. That is, instruction by Srila Rupa Goswami. Actually, it's an instruction in, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Actually, it's listed as one of the symptoms of an accomplished devotee. that one who has become a devotee on the platform of Bhava does not waste one's time. Such a person does not waste time. Such a person treats time as something which is very precious. And so Srila Prabhupada says, don't waste time and always think of and serve Krishna. Don't waste time and always think of and serve Krishna. So now the question is, how should one do this? I wasn't there, but in one temple in America, they had a devotee who they had one devotee who was very resolute to be Krishna conscious. So to realize his goal, he got himself a harmonica stand. You know what a harmonica stand is? You know what harmonica is? Usna harmonica. How do you say that in Slovenian? Orlica. Orglice. With the G. Orglica. Ili orglice. Orglice. So he got himself a harmonica stand. Harmonica stand is meant to keep the harmonica in front of your mouth. It goes around your neck, suspends down your chest, and then it goes up and holds the harmonica right there so that you can play guitar while blowing on the harmonica. So that's what he got himself. And then on that harmonica stand, he put a picture of Krishna. So that he could be Krishna conscious all the time. He had a picture of Krishna right in front of his face. So he couldn't see anything. He had to look down and lift the picture. And obviously couldn't do much service. Needless to say, it didn't last too long. That's not how. It's kind of cute, but that's not how you become Krishna conscious. That's a fanatic. We had a few similar examples some other time about that. But the question then remains, how does one pull it off? Pull it off means to kako to učiniti, kako to realizirati, to pull off. It's an idiom, can be translated directly. So how to pull it off? Question remains. We see also in our own lives, once we're done with the morning prayer, which is quite a set, starts at 4 in the morning, you get up probably, I don't know, usually devotees recite some shlokas and through the shower and brushing teeth and all that, and all that lasts through, let's say, 8 or 9 o'clock. So that's a good at least 4 hours every morning, at least 4 hours of hopefully attentive hearing and chanting. And then when that is done, then what? Okay, read a couple more hours. Okay, read a couple more hours. Then what? Okay, evening program. All right. Evening program. Hopefully do it attentively. But we still have so many hours in the day left. And to read and chant constantly is impossible for those who are not completely liberated. One of the things that Srila Saraswati Thakur demonstrated is that all those so-called Babajis at Radhakund were actually cheaters. Because they could not manage to constantly chant and hear and do nothing else. As they were doing that which is Krishna conscious, hearing and chanting, they were developing material desires. Interesting, isn't it, how that works? This is something that we should not be fanatical about. This is where we need to be balanced. So how to keep the mind focused on Krishna or Krishna consciousness? That's why Srila Prabhupada gave a mission. People without a mission in life are just really people who have nothing to live for. And when people don't have a mission in life, they make up stuff. Let's climb Triglav. That's not that, well, it is probably a bit of a feat. What is it, 3 kilometers as far as I remember, the height, 3,000 meters. Okay. Were you an alpinist? Were you?
Yeah.
Kind of. When people don't have a mission, like they come up with stuff. Give themselves a mission. Let's climb a mountain. Let's jump off of a mountain. Let's jump off of a bridge by tying a rope, an elastic rope, one end to my feet and the other to the bridge. Like, what for? Because there's no mission in life. It's interesting how people have goals in life. But if you don't have a goal of life, then you keep coming up with these goals in life. Now I'm going to jump off of a bridge. Then I'm going to swim a little bit. Then my next goal is to climb the Triglav. Then the next goal is to jump off of it. Then the next goal is to marry, then divorce, then buy a car. These are goals in life. This is symptomatic of a person who doesn't have a goal of life. Person has a goal of life, has a big goal to achieve. And so Srila Prabhupada in this way gave us the goal of life, and then he gave us that goal of life as a mission in two ways. As a mission, something that we ought to accomplish. Man, I'm hearing myself from down there. You in the kitchen, I hear it all with a 3-second delay. And now we're all laughing. They might have turned it down. What was I saying about the mission? So Prabhupada gave us the goal of life as the mission. As a mission, something that we ought to accomplish for ourselves. And something that we ought to help others accomplish. We live in tremendously materialistic times. Where people line up in front of them on the timeline. All bunch of, please don't get offended, stupid goals. In life. Those are not goals of life. Goal of my life is to surf. By the way, I spend a lot of time in Southern California where people surf. Surf the waves. Ocean waves. What kind of goal of life is that? The nature of a goal in life is that when you accomplish it, it becomes useless. And then you ask yourself, now what? And in this way, people waste their time distracting themselves one thing after another. But Srila Prabhupada gave us the goal of life. Something that we can always strive for, drive towards. And then to do that, the very same thing, help others realize that there is a goal of life. That materialism is a horrible thing that leads nowhere but to pain. Presents itself as something most wonderful, but it leads to pain. And even if it didn't lead to pain, the problem is it leads to nowhere. Where one is forced to strive for one goal in life after another. It's like a hamster on a wheel. Like running where? Kolo tečina. Kako se to kaže na slovenski? No, kolotečina means there is no English equivalent. When you do something in English, you would say it becomes hackneyed, stale, boring, because it's always repeating. Becomes tasteless and uninteresting. That's materialism. So Srila Prabhupada gave us a mission for ourselves, not to be there, but to actually strive for something which makes sense. And there's plenty of challenge along the way. For God's sake, I mean, I have not had a one boring minute in my life yet since I've taken to Krishna consciousness. Whereas before taking to Krishna consciousness, I didn't know how to kill the time, as they say. Response to which is, you're not killing time, it's killing you, man. Anyhow, just a side note. So Srila Prabhupada gave us a big mission to try to make a change in lives of as many people as possible, as a minimum, and as a maximum to turn the whole civilization around. Any one of us who feels bored and doesn't know what to do, I wonder, are you with our movement or not? There's so much to do. And we need not wait on everybody else to tell us what to do. We can also be procreative and offer our help in creative ways to make a difference in this world. And by this way, we always have something to meditate upon. Instead of thinking how to become a business person or something, why not think how to spread this movement for the benefit of all, for our own benefit and for the benefit of all, everyone. Materialism will tell you, no, what are you doing? Just have some fun. This is fun, for God's sake. I mean, I'm not here because I'm suffering. What's more fun than alter, than mess up with other people's lives? How did you translate that? I'm just curious. Mess up. I'm being funny here. But the point remains. What's more exciting than change the course of someone's life, let alone to change the course of a civilization? And there's so many creative ways to do it. There's no one way to do it. So that's the mission. Darn. There are two more very important points that Srila Prabhupada brought up in the purport. But in order to explain him, I would need at least 10 more minutes. So I think I'll just, because I'm 5 minutes over time. I think I'll just leave it for next year when I come. Okay, any questions or comments? Yes. Okay. Facebook, like everything else, is morally neutral. Moralno. Morally neutral. Yeah. In other words, its value, whenever someone asks the question whether something is good or bad, they're asking the basic moral question. But in order to ever be able to give answer to the moral question, we have to understand that no thing is morally biased. In other words, things are morally neutral. It all depends how we use them. A knife could be used in horrible ways, could be used in good ways, and could be used in transcendental ways. So similarly, internet could be just a horrible web of illusion. And in all honesty, most devotees waste an insane lot of time by coming in contact with it. That's why many devotees choose to use it very minimally, especially what they call them, social medias. But that does not mean that the social media in itself is bad. It really depends how we use it. If we can use it in Krishna's service, we totally should. As a matter of fact, our second largest advertiser is Facebook. And to not use Facebook for advertising for us, when I say us, I mean my Brahmachari team in San Diego, would be really, what should I call it? Not intelligent. Would be even a form of Maya. But even though it's so useful, if one cannot resist the temptation to waste an insane lot of time, then one better stays away from it. Well, computers are not that much of a tempting object anymore as they used to. I remember when I had my first laptop in 1995. It was like a brick. It was black and white. And devotees made the Veda base in DOS, MS-DOS. You remember that? Anyone else had that? It was Veda based, but I wasted my time. I was just so thrilled by, you know, you punch a query and then it gives you results. It's like, wow. Then I was just coming up with things to punch in. Not because I was studying Prabhupada Vani or Prabhupada's instructions. I was just having time, awesome time, playing with the machine. Let alone later on when there was Microsoft Windows 95, which was horrible. And then after that was 99, right? 98. From 95 jumped to 98, right? Windows 95 jumped to 98. That was a huge improvement. Wow. And then when the internet was invented, dial-up. No. Okay, that wasn't that bad. But when the broadband was introduced, broadband. How do you translate broadband? Ethernet. Broadband, high-speed internet? No. Thank you. Wow. Then all of a sudden, everyone started having blogs. And then every company had a website. And there was all kinds of stuff on the web. And devotees started to waste their time tremendously. I had to remove internet connection from 3 different brahmacharya ashrams because people watching pornography. Time wasting. So, if someone asks the question, is Facebook good or bad? In the first place, they're not understanding the nature of morality or the nature of everything in this world. Facebook itself is morally neutral, but it really depends how we use it. If we can use it in appropriate ways, it's good. And if we cannot, then better not. Just like some devotees take to life of renunciation. Of course, we all take to life of renunciation in the sense that we try to renounce the illusion. But some devotees take to the life of renunciation not because for men, not because something's wrong with women or something's wrong with family. No, because we're tempted. When we come in contact with that which is perfectly normal, we go weird. So similarly, some of us may have to take that attitude towards things such as the internet or the things on the internet such as social media. Is that okay? Okay. Oh, okay. That's the last one and then we'll... Oh, we're already late. Oh, for the wedding. Okay, so we'll stop here and I'll personally answer that question.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Krantarat Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.